Hey everyone, I am Jim Gast with Splicenet Consulting, and you're on No Law Firm Left Behind. Thanks for joining me. I've taken a couple of weeks hiatus, took some time off, and I'm excited to be back. So what I thought about this week and what I thought I would do is a multi-part series on how to do a technology plan for a law firm. Having a lot of people ask me about this, and so I thought I'd take a little bit of time and help everyone understand what that's all about, why it's important, and how to do it, right? I'm really big into productivity and getting a lot out of the things that you invest in from a technology and security perspective for your firm. A couple of weeks ago, I did a session on how to get more out of your Microsoft 365. It turned out to be a great workshop that was followed up after the podcast. And so it was about a 90-minute long workshop, lots of great feedback on a lot of important things you can do with your Microsoft 365 to get the best out of it, the most out of it, and make it work for you. But you know, as I think about today's topic, and that is a step-by-step business technology plan for your law firm, I think I go back to that and I think to myself, okay, so how does this relate? How is this important, right? Well, if you have a piece of software, if you have a piece of technology, if you have some security, there should be a plan around it. If you don't have a plan for these things, you're throwing darts at a dartboard essentially and not getting the biggest bang for your buck. Maybe this stuff is counterproductive. Maybe you're spending way too much money. You really have to put a plan together to get out of the most out of what you're investing in. You know, you just don't go buy stocks or mutual funds. You do some investigation. You do some legwork, right? And it's no different with a technology or a security or even a service for that matter. Look, you make plans in your business. You make, some businesses make business plans. I know that's seems like it's going the way the buggy whip, which is kind of sad. Some businesses make marketing plans. Some businesses make HR plans or growth plans, right? So if we make plans, why not make a plan for our technology? I'll tell you why, because it's essential to your growth. I mean, financial plans. I mean, you know, we're planning for retirement. You're doing math. We're doing all kinds of calculators to figure out how to get the most down the road for ourselves, right? It's no different with a technology plan. But a lot of law firms just don't think about it. They just kind of go out and let's go to Best Buy. Let's go buy a PC. Let's go get some email at this website and get ourselves all set up and just kind of go, right? And so unfortunately, you know, unless you think about it step by step, that might be the only place you ever get. And there's so many things you could be benefiting from. You can also harm yourself if you don't put these plans in place. So what I'm going to do is kind of dissect it. Today, we're going to talk about the first couple of steps in a business technology plan. Now, I know I'm talking about law firms, the new law firm left behind, and you know I'm targeting and speaking specifically to law firms and legal professionals or legal law firm leaders. But this goes for any industry. This could be a nonprofit, a manufacturing. It doesn't matter what it is. A business technology plan is essential. So what happens more often than not is we don't think about the why to start with. Why do we have technology, right? What is it supposed to do for us? And what I like to think about is, you know, a mission for our technology. What's it supposed to do, right? How is it supposed to work for us? Not like, oh, we're supposed to be able to communicate with our customers through email. Not exactly that, right? What's the number one or two benefits that our technology should deliver to who we're serving, right? And so I like to look at it as a mission for your technology or a mission for your security, right? And who is that mission for? Well, in my opinion, there are three parties that a mission for technology. You should have a mission for your technology. You should have, obviously, for your customers, your clients, whoever that may be, right? Other businesses or other individuals, right? We should have a mission for our technology and how it's supposed to serve them. The best, you know, best methods of communication, accurate billing for them, you know, ease of access to the information that we're providing them or the product or service that we're providing them. That's a mission, right, to your clients. I also think that that mission should focus on your staff. You know, without those staff, we're not going to have a business ultimately. And so how should it serve our staff? What should it do? I have this mentality about what I do at SpliceNet, right? And our mentality and what we do is we're very, very client focused, but it's not just enough to say that, but let's put that in words and say, okay, well, how is this focused for our staff? I don't want their work to be difficult. I want it to be as easy as possible. I want them to be productive as possible. I want them to come to work and go home in a good mood and not think to themselves, oh, it's really hard to do work there, right? That's what technology should do for your staff. And then finally, you know, for your business owners, for your law firm owners, what should that technology and how do for you? How should it serve you and your business? Sure, yeah, it should, you know, it make everyone's life easier so we can make more money, right? And I get that. We're in business to make money. But really, ultimately, you know, shouldn't it give you the health of your business and things like that? So what I would first do is start thinking about the mission of your technology. Very, usually pretty easy thing to do. What I would do is I would take some cue cards and I would just kind of start jotting down for my clients, for my staff, for myself, depending on how many owners you have, right? Or partners, that is. And that brings up another point I'm going to talk about in a second, partners. But, you know, and start kind of putting down important thoughts and stuff like that and put down that mission for that. I know it's weird. I know it's strange. But once we know what it's supposed to do, then we can figure out how do we get it to do that, right? So that's the first step. The second step, kind of at the same time, though, maybe, and it depends on your firm or your business. So if you're a law firm and you're one, you know, a solo, right, you know, you are the person that's going to decide all of this stuff. But if you're anything bigger than that, any law firm that's bigger than that, you really need a team of people to have input, right? I'm not saying necessarily a committee. Who likes committees? You know, I understand the necessity of committees, but I do believe that there should be some business owners and some people that are affected by your technology. Now, I'm not saying go out and get your clients. That's a novel thought, though. Okay. But at least some people in your organization. Why not a lawyer in a department? Why not a paralegal legal secretary? You know, why not a legal administrator, right? At different levels, because everybody's affected differently by the technology that you're using in your firm. So getting their input is essential. You really are not looking at it holistically if you're not asking everybody else, okay, well, how does this affect you? What do you think about this? You know, you really, in order to be a well-oiled machine, which is what law firms need to be today, especially after COVID, you really need to listen to the people that you deal with. Now, talk about that novel approach with clients. Why wouldn't you ask them, hey, what do you want from us? Take some of your clients, take a handful of clients, take them to lunch, have a think tank with them and say, all right, let's talk about the technology that our law firm has to offer you. All right. Do you want access to your documents? Do you want access to your bills? Do you want access to this? How do you want to communicate with your attorneys and staff, our staff? You know, things like that. Take that information. You don't have to act on it. Sorry, I got an errant hair from my head. Sorry. You don't have to act on it necessarily, not on all of it. I mean, you'd want to act on some of it, or it's an exercise and it's a utility and it's a waste of time, right? But take what they're saying and say, okay, my clients want a portal where they can get to their information. What do we have to do in our business? That's going to start governing the direction of your technology plan. So you see what I'm talking about there? Now, I was talking to Vinny. We're in the midst of about three different business technology plans for law firms, and actually one healthcare organization, large healthcare organization. And so I was talking to him. I was kind of picking his brain. You know, he's a genius with this stuff. And Vinny's my business partner. If you don't know him, Vinny Del Valle. Hi, Vinny. Everybody says hi. And so I said, Vinny, you know, let's take the approach and, you know, from what, you know, after we've come up with a mission, after we put our team together, after we've developed what technology should be doing for our firm and security should be doing for our firm, you know, what's your approach on this? And he said, I take it from the outside in. And I'm like, oh, not a bad approach, you know? He said, generally the outside in will lead you down to the thing that the end user needs to work with. And so we'll talk about that in a second. But as I'm thinking about my conversation with him, I'm thinking about, okay, so most law firms are not startups. They're not brand new. Most law firms have been around for a while. Most law firms have got all this technology that they've got, and they are where they are. And that's not a bad thing, okay? That's what I would call brownfield. All right. I'm a chemist from way back, and brownfield is a dirty field of heavy metals or something that needs to be cleaned up. Right. And so, you know, brownfield cleanup, it used to be an EPA conversation, right? An EPA term. And so, they're not greenfield, right? Greenfield being all brand new grass, unadulterated, untouched, and we can do what we want with it. It's a freshly gessoed canvas or a new piece of clay that needs to be molded, right? And so most of the law firms that I'm going to talk to right now are brownfield. You've already got some technology. You've got line of business applications. You've got productivity applications. You've got PCs. You've got network. You've got services and all this stuff. So not that these things don't apply to a greenfield environment or a startup law firm. You still have to look at all of these, but more importantly, in that scenario, you're going to start filling in the blanks for what do we need? What do we do? How do we do it? What do we look at, right? Brownfield's a different situation. They've already got a document management system, whatever it is, okay? They've already got printers. They've already got firewalls. So we really need to start by assessing those things, all right? Now, by the way, I've got a great do-it-yourself kit, if you will, on how to start documenting all of this stuff. We use it all the time. It's fantastic. I'm happy to share it with law firm professionals, not my competitors, obviously. But, you know, I want to take a few minutes and kind of talk about some of the things. Very, very high-level stuff. In that assessment, we should be looking at our infrastructure, okay? Not going to go to the details on infrastructure other than to say internet connection, network hardware, maybe wiring. You know, wiring plays a part of it. It's one of those things that's just we put it in and forget about it, you know? Wiring changes over time. We get better benefit from newer wiring. I know that's strange to think of. And then from the infrastructure, you know, we get that wire and it runs down to, then he says outside in, right? It runs to a PC or a server, right? And you look at what's that PC doing? What its specifications? What's our brands? What's our warranties? You know, all kinds of things with that. How old are they? And then on that PC, what's installed on it? What's our PDF software? What's our preferred browser as an organization? I think you should have a preferred browser as an organization. The more you can control things, the easier it is to manage them, right? Huh. And so I'm getting a call from one of my friends at a cyber business that I know. So you probably saw me on. And so what's going on with that PC? What specifications should that PC have for the particular role that the person plays? You know, if you're talking about somebody's drafting documents all day long versus somebody's just looking up email, browsing the internet and reading email, those are different requirements. Somebody's doing spreadsheets, somebody's paying bills. Those are different requirements for different PCs potentially. Or you can just kind of, you know, make one requirement, but at least you should make it and document it. And so let's back away from the PC for a minute and let's talk about the server side. Now, I know servers are, you know, a conversation that we don't have very often any longer with organizations. Most of the organizations we're using are looking to move to the cloud, and that's another technology business plan or business technology plan. Getting rid of all of our on-premise hardware that we don't need and moving it all to the cloud. That's a plan, right? And so we need to talk about that. So why do we have servers? What are our servers? What are their servers doing? You know, documenting all of this information, specifications on servers. You know, you don't have to get super granular if you don't want to, but at least you have to document it, write it down. You know, they say you commit something to memory when you write it down. When I was a kid, we used to do vocabulary words in fourth grade, right? And we used to write the vocabulary words 25 times, right? We used to write the definitions for the vocabulary words, you know, 10 times, right? And then you went to take the test, you knew how to spell the word and you knew what the word meant. And we even did synonyms, right? And so you knew half a dozen synonyms and maybe some antonyms or something like that, right? The fact is that when we write things, we're committing ourselves to it, not just our memory, but committing to what we've just put on paper. People are so much more likely to actually act on something when they write it down. I'm not saying don't do a document. I'm not saying don't create a Word document. Don't create some great project plan. Do that too. But let's start by taking notes. Remember in the beginning, I said the mission, do note cards. Why do we do the note cards? We feel it when we do the note cards. I digress. So servers, you know, are we doing virtual servers? Are we doing physical servers? You know, what are their purposes? What software is installed on them and so on and so forth? Are we doing single purpose servers or multi-purpose servers? And I'm not going to get into the difference of that. And then I also talk about the backup strategy. What are we doing for backup? Probably one of the most important things I think in any business is a backup strategy. When it all goes to, you know, hell in a handbasket, we need to be able to come back to something that's going to help us and keep us safe. And we can't take it for granted, right? We have to have a backup strategy, a backup plan. You know, let's move away from some technology for a second. Let's talk about technology staffing. What people do we need? At what levels do we need? And what do we need them to do? Maybe job descriptions are a good time to kind of put this in place right now. From a brownfield perspective, documenting what our job descriptions are now and what we could see our job descriptions being in the future. If I'm moving my servers to the cloud away from here, maybe the individual I have needs to gain some new skills, right? And you know, I'm not about putting people out of jobs at all, but maybe that person needs to gain some new skills, or we need to bring somebody else in to assist us and deal with cloud strategies instead of the on-premise stuff, right? Some new things that people need to learn. And that's a good thing, is to talk about an education strategy for our people. Lawyers have to do CLEs. Yeah, I know. Nobody really enjoys it. But the reason they do it as an industry is so they can keep up on new things and, you know, that are happening as a in their job and their career path. So tech staffing is the same thing. Consultants, what kind of consultants do we need? We might not be able to afford all of the tech staff that we need. It might not be smart for us to have, you know, somebody on hand that can do a cloud migration once it's done, you know, so we might need a consultant for, you know, whatever that might be, right, to implement something, and then we take it over internally. That's an idea, right? Data storage, you know, let's come back to that one. That's kind of a boring one. I like to talk about business productivity applications and line of business applications. I kind of feel they're two separate things. Business productivity applications are things like, you know, Outlook and word processors and email clients and messaging clients and meeting software and things like that. Okay. Email servers, file servers, right? Those are, you know, maybe not a file server, but maybe a SharePoint and a Microsoft 365 is a business productivity app. It allows us a place to put our documents and retrieve them and search for them, right? Or line of business applications are a lot different. Line of business applications are meant to do a particular function, like a document management system, like a NetDocs or iManager or WorldDocs, or a billing software, like, you know, or maybe an accounting software, like an Orion or, even larger than that, you know, practice management and case management applications like Cosmolex, Clio, MyCase, and the list goes on and on and on and on when it comes to line of business applications. So we want to document those things, and we want to know what we want to get out of them, okay? Not just, this will help you if you have an on-premise. Like, let's suppose you're still running TimeSlips, you know, which is a great little program. I used to be certified on it. First thing I ever did in legal technology consulting. But, you know, maybe it's time to evaluate getting rid of that and moving to the cloud to something more effective for us, right? But if you sit down and you document what it does for you currently and what it is not doing for you that you would love to do, maybe it can't send electronic bills for you the way you want, okay? Maybe it doesn't have a portal for your clients, right? Maybe the billing is too complicated and your attorneys and your staff have to go pick their rates instead of it automatically doing it. You know, and I know TimeSlip can do a lot of that stuff, but I guess what I'm saying is, maybe you're not getting that out of that software. So whatever we move to, we want to make sure that we're getting that out of that software. So it's not just throwing a dart and just kind of picking and going, you know, my mentor uses this one phrase that I love, and I don't know where she got it from, but don't get into a situation where you're in analysis paralysis, right? Where you're analyzing. I think, you know, one of my good friends in technology said this a long time ago, you know, I would rather, you know, look at where we're at and go live with something, you know, after I feel a level of confidence at 80 to 90%, you know, am I ever going to get that, you know, closer and closer and closer? And what's the value of the time that I'm spending to try to get closer to the answer, right? No, I mean, at a certain point, you have to just kind of gut check it and go, right? So that's one thing. So let's talk about credential management. That's a thing you need to look at. You need to look at your cybersecurity. Oh my gosh, cybersecurity. You can't ignore it today. Unfortunately, the bad guys are out there. They're coming. They're criminals. They're trying to take your money. They don't really care about your data. What good is it to them unless it got some kind of credit card number or bank account in it? But really, they're trying to get cold, hard cash from you by locking your stuff up. So you've got a plan for that. You just can't say, oh, we've got antivirus, we had a firewall. You know, you need to continually be evaluating this. By the way, any business technology plan that you put in place, any one of them, I don't care if it's, you know, if it's short or long, you should be evaluating it no less than annually. In our business at SpliceNet, we put everything on the table every single year and we evaluate it. What are we getting out of it? Is it serving its purpose? Percentage-wise, how much are we benefiting from it? Is its cost to benefit ratio good? And do we want to continue with it, or is there something better that'll get us closer to just the function that we need? Maybe we don't need 10 different functions because we're not doing 10 different functions, or we're using 8 of those functions, you know, maybe sporadically 20% of the time, but 20% of those functions we're using 100% of the time. So maybe I can save some money and get to a piece of software that does less, or get more from the piece of software. Same thing with cybersecurity. You cannot put it in a closet. You cannot forget about it, or it isn't really a plan. Plans don't just, once you reach a plan, you make a new plan, right? Or you look at your plan as you go and say, well, we need to change it because these environmental factors have changed. So let me get it before we're done today with this first session on this. A couple of things. You need technology policies and cybersecurity policies. These are essential nowadays, especially if you're getting questionnaires from insurance companies for renewals or a new cyber liability insurance. They're requiring it. This is a competitive advantage also. Law firms are, I know a lot of law firms today where their clients are saying, hey, law firm X, Y, and Z over here has these compliances in place and these policies in place. Do you have a written information security plan? Do you use multi-factor authentication? What is your onboarding process? What is, you know, all that stuff? It becomes a competitive advantage. I know law firms that are losing customers because they don't have that and they moved over and that one already had it in place, right? So just something to think about. And let's talk about some cloud services, right? Server hosting. I mean, server hosting is a real thing in the cloud, right? We can host servers. We can host virtual desktops. Microsoft 365 is a cloud service. Line of business applications like Cosmolex and Clio are what I like to call point solutions in the cloud, right? A QuickBooks Online is a cloud solution. So how are we going to benefit from those and what are they doing for us? So, you know, even if we think about it, the printers and copiers that we use are affected by your technology plan. How long do we want to have the same printer? I mean, I know an organization that had a printer. This girl had a printer on her desk that she loved. It was great big printer, and it would do great volumes of paper for her, and she wouldn't have to change it out, and she loved it. But I said the amount of time it's taking to print, you could switch a ream of paper three different times and still be faster with a new lower volume printer. And I switched it out on her. She didn't ask. I just kind of did it. And I said, you're going to try this. And, you know, I kept the old one. I said, give this a try. You know what? If it doesn't work, I'll give it. She said, 3 weeks later, she said, I'm so glad you made me do that. Two monitors, I'm running three monitors right here. I know you can't tell. One, two, and three, right? I use a laptop all the time. Is your organization going to use desktops all the time? These are questions that should go into planning. Three monitors for me, maybe four for some organizations, maybe more. Is that making you more productive? Mm-hmm. Yes, it does. But if you don't think about it, and if you don't plan it out, and just, you know, some things you just do, right? But, you know, I think that you should be thinking about that when you sit down to do your technology plan. Security services like MDR, EDR, SIM, and SOC, don't worry about what those are. We're not going to go into those. I'll talk about them, or I've talked about them in the past. But those are essential things to evaluate from a security perspective. Oh, I want to go back to the printers. Your contracts, how long are your contracts? Vendor management is a thing that you should plan for as well. Evaluating your vendors. How can we get better prices? How can we get better services? Maybe better delivery of services and support. Who knows, right? So, you know, I'm going to end here because, I mean, we've got some more things to talk about maybe in the next step. On bringing it all together, but it really starts with, you know, making note of the first three steps. What's your mission? Who's going to be in charge of it? And then starting to assess it. Obviously, the assessment being the much deeper of the first three steps, in my opinion. The next steps we're going to talk about are going to be documenting a plan, creating the plan, and then how do we execute the plan, and how do we keep up on the plan? So listen, I hope this was helpful. If you want the do-it-yourself kit, just private message me or email me, jim@splice.net, and I'll be sure to get that to you. But listen, again, you can't really effectively grow your organization, make your people happy, please your customers, unless you've got a plan to do so. And part of that plan does include the technology business plan or business technology plan. I always reverse those two words. So thanks again for joining. If you are not a member of No Law Firm Left Behind on LinkedIn, by all means, go join. There are, go to LinkedIn and search No Law Firm Left Behind. You'll find a page and a group, follow the page and then join the group. Love to have you in the group. I put all these videos in there. Lots of resources go in there as well. As a matter of fact, I'll probably just go and pop the technology plan in the group, so you can just grab it out of there. All right. If you're looking for our past shows and our live streams and podcasts, you can go to splice.net/No Law From Left Behind. If you search No Law From Left Behind on Google, I think it'll bring you right to us. So I appreciate you joining this week, and have a great week. Can't wait until next week to see you again, talking about the next step in your business technology plan. Take care.